Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast.
Hit it or love it. We're forced to grow up quick in the hood that I live in. It ain't no.
Welcome back to the Property Strategies Podcast. You're here with your boy Kenny. Who else is in the building?
Your brother Atkins in the building.
Brother Atkins, hello.
Brother. Brother Atkins. Feeling like a brother.
How was the word today?
Great, in fact. I'm feeling blessed.
The word word.
And highly favoured.
Ghost is in the building.
Come on.
Come on. King of the jungle.
Yeah,
come
so
on.
We're going to make this a quick one. We want to talk about buying a second home because now the reason why is because not a lot of people know how to scale up. Mm. And it's important, like, when you buy your first one that you figure out ways to scale up your business. Mm. And really make a living for yourself so that you're able to be self-sufficient, you know, have a nice cash flow, have something built up for the future. So, yeah, we're going to talk about buying a second home. So, let's go ahead and start. So, what do you guys think? Like, so, right now we're in a situation where we bought our first home. Mm. Cool. So, what do you think happens next? Yeah, there's no right or wrong answer, by the way. Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, first of all, I just wanted to emphasize, obviously, the importance of kind of buying a second home because obviously, after you buy your first home and you get the second one, you hear all this, I bought 7 properties in 2 years or blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that all comes from after you do your second one, you just replicate the same skill that you gained in your second one. Mm-hmm. That will kind of allow you to kind of scale up to that potential. So again, that's why it's so important. I mean, getting the first one, sometimes, you know, people might find it easy or it might be like, okay, I got my first one, but how do I actually get my second one? Okay. So what I would say is, you've got your first one now. There's so many different ways to kind of approach it, to kind of get your second one. So you can go down the easy route of, okay, I've got my first one now. I'm just going to save up and wait another 2 years, save another 40K or 30K, 50K, whatever.
Oh, so you can save up
30K. I'm just saying years. People, like, you know, I'm a humble guy. That's half of them. I'm just saying people, like, you get me? So, you know, however long it takes you.
Put him on the spot, yeah.
Like, relax. However long it takes you, because. Yeah. Obviously, it's tough, isn't it?
Bear in mind that you can partner up or you can have a partner.
Yeah, exactly. That was the second thing I was going to say before you jumped in. But thanks, Kenny, for jumping in. No, I'm joking. But no, I was going to say, obviously, that's the first option. Kind of looking into stacking. But like Kenny say, joint venture, partnering up with someone else, like to kind of maybe drop money with you as well. Mm-hmm. Or some scenarios, which I guess we've spoken about quite a lot on the pod. Some people might be able to drop the whole amount of money. I don't know if any of you have experienced anything like that, similar to that, or
I mean, I had a scenario with my second property whereby pretty much put, well, there was a little bit of cost that, you know, money I put towards the deal, but predominantly essentially
the same amount that you put for the course.
Wow,
just put me in the spot like that.
Course.
Mate, what are you doing to me right now? I mean, anyway, let me swiftly move on. But there are scenarios, whereby you can, as a property investor or somebody wants to get a second home, you know, team up or join up with somebody that has, you know, that could bring the funds of the deal. So in this case, I teamed up with my business partner. And he was able to bring most of the capital for the deal. I was able to find the deal, do the refurb, etc., manage all the process. We bought it together, basically. So through a company, we bought the property.
So in that situation, so he was someone who probably didn't have a lot of time, but had a lot of money, and you had a bit more time than he did.
I would even say before that, like, how did you pitch that scenario? Like, how did that come about? It didn't just drop from the sky. Like, I would even go as far as, how do you even find a business partner, or how did that relationship build up? And just kind of let people know ways of finding strategic partners.
I mean, firstly, just to say, like, when this happened for me, I was in, I did it, but I was just thinking, damn, this is actually happening. You know what I mean? You hear about it, you study this, go and find someone with money, and then you do the work and, you know, put a money down, no money down deal in that term. And, you know, it actually works. So, yeah, for me anyway, in terms of that person that I joined up with, I've known him from a long time, so it was someone that I'd done business with before. Essentially, when I was in Birmingham, I was managing his portfolio, running around, doing a lot of work from him. And just in the work that I was doing for him, he could see that I was, you know, an integral person, worked hard. I'm sure he saw all the qualities in me to, like, be a business partner, essentially. But I didn't actually have that in mind at first, to be honest. It was just more me doing work for him, making sure that I do everything on point. But I think I probably had it back in my mind.
And make money, of course.
Yeah, make money with him, of course.
So
yeah,
what,
yeah.
Did you kind of put yourself out there to do a bit more? And then you saw, okay, let me see what
happens. Yeah, it was funny because I basically was just running around at the time finding rent-to-rent deals and finding management contracts.
Mm.
So I basically been on spare room, DMing loads of landlords saying that if you need help with management, shout me, basically.
Mm.
And then I think they saw my name, an African name, Akin, and them being, you know,
African themselves.
African themselves, they kind of saw us, oh, this guy's, you know, this guy's hustling.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I met with them. They're two big investors, two people in corporate work that make a lot of money. So I met with them, and they were just, you know, they liked the fact that I was quite hardworking and things like that. And that basically relationship over the next 18 months, 12 to 18 months materialized into doing more business, basically. So it started off with management, then it went to do other stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it was just like, you know what, you know, you find great deals as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, why don't we just partner up with a deal? And then I said, yeah, okay, cool. You know, what would be the terms of the deal? So we agreed on the terms, which was predominantly me running around doing the work. I would have to put money to obviously cover my costs and do certain things and little fixes here and there, but predominantly they would drop the cash for the deposit, and then we would split the fee for that, basically, that the refurb and things like that.
Nice.
And then yeah, that was pretty much it.
I want to touch on two things. So one, were you nervous?
In terms of what part? Like
when you had to meet up with them and
nervous, bro. Nervous, brother. Because obviously at the time, I can't obviously put them on blast, but they're a partnership. There's two of them. But essentially, I saw them online. Like, I know that they do property and stuff like that. So I was like, rah, like, you know, I'm, you know, I need to come correct. And I remember they literally messaged me, like,
come in hoodie. Or suit.
Nah, I came in smart clothing still. Yeah. That day I did. Yeah. I was staying in Wolves at the time, and they said, yo, come meet me in Birmingham. So I literally got the train. These times I was like, I really didn't have the time to do it, but I was like, I had to move things around. Went there, literally just out of the blue. And I spoke to them, and they were, from there, yeah, they're literally just like, you know, they started showing me the ropes, you know, here's the properties. There was loads of them. And and then, yeah, since then, it's just been like, okay, cool, we do one deal, and then we'll go on to the next. And, you know, they're really, like, from that situation, I realised that, yeah, like, as much as I'm getting a lot from them in terms of the capital, they actually get a lot from me because they're so busy doing what they do day to day. They don't have time to analyse the deals that, like, the way I do, run around, make things happen, you know, leverage off the contractors that we have, great property managers like, you know, Gox here. And
speak on it, I'm joking.
and you as well, obviously, helping me find the deals and things like that. So I'm leveraging off a lot in it. So yeah, for that situation, it was great, man. And obviously, structurally, each deal that you do with a joint venture partner can work differently. And yeah, we do ask through a limited company, but
yeah,
it works differently and stuff like that. Yeah,
cool. Second point that I wanted to touch up on is maybe for just the people listening. So obviously, you have deals, and sometimes it's hard to like say to someone, okay, I'm gonna do this and you do that. You know, you do the money, I'm gonna do the running, because you almost feel like I'm taking the piss here, but you're really not, because for people that have money, yeah, they can do what they're doing anyway. But what you're giving them is a service of convenience. Like, they pay or convenience. They don't want to have to do any money. They don't want to have to do any thinking. They just have a lot of money and they need your help, you know, because you're in the market, you're seeing what people want, you're seeing what people need. So you're doing the research for them. They just have a pot of money because they're busy doing what they're doing anyway.
Just chime in with that. I think that was the shocking part. I mean, being having the confidence to say, this is the project that I want to go with, I believe in it. They've never seen it before.
They've never seen
the properties before. And they've invested in them because I believed in them, and I don't know how you feel about Gox, but that was like shocking for me. Like, raw, like, I mean, I know what I'm doing.
They have to believe in you,
but then you have to believe in yourself, and then they got to then believe in you.
It's that confidence in it, in your own self, that will make someone say, "Ah, no, do you know what? They know what they're talking about."
Yeah.
I think sometimes I'm just thinking back, 2014, 2015. Yeah. Sometimes you find it whereby, okay, I hear you that, you know, you have to have confidence in yourself. Yeah. But sometimes you doubt yourself.
Bro.
This is where the term "fake it till you make it" kind of comes in play. So that was back in them days, you know.
Yo.
You're new to property,
yeah, like,
you know what I mean? You don't know what you're doing. No one, I'm not talking about deceiving anybody. You don't. You're trying to figure it out yourself. So, and obviously the doubt will creep in, imposter complex or what's the term?
Syndrome.
Yeah, like the doubt would creep in. Then you just gotta look in the mirror and say, no, I'm a great property investor. Like, I know what I'm doing, and just keep going. And before you know it, like, you're look, the more you do, the more results you get. Like, the more you just, okay, let me go to this agent. I'm shook to go to this agent right now. However, I want to walk through the door. You've walked through the door, it's never that bad. Like, you just told me, come anytime. I got a couple, two deals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes all you need is a bit of confidence in your own self. That is it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay, so we've heard buying your second home. So we've heard stacking up. We've heard doing JVs.
Yeah.
One that I would like to put on the table is just simple equity. So just waiting. So let's say you bought a property 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later, you think, this price has gone up.
Right.
You know, my property I bought for 300K is now worth, you know, 380 after 4 years. Or, you know, 400K after 4 years. Cool. Okay, so now I want to take out some equity and use that equity, use that money to remortgage and pull out some money so that I can buy a second property or maybe two up north. You never know. So that's another way that I would also recommend that people do it, because a lot of people are sitting on gold mines. There's obviously we spoke about concessionary purchase, we spoke about all of these things as well, like our parents are sitting on gold mines. There's so many things you can do to get your leg in the door, and once your leg is in the door, there's so many other things you can do to get the second one, the third one, the fourth one. Like, a lot of people say the hardest one is the first one. I'm starting to really believe that, because once you get the first one, you know the process.
That process as well. Man, people don't talk about the process enough. I think you literally, you can lose hair through that first process, because it's so stressful that you're just like, rah. And then, but then when you go through it again and you kind of understand that certain things can happen, I think you kind of just become a little bit more laid back. You know.
Because I'm so numb right now. Like, as as in, no matter what happens, it cannot shock me.
Certain things, they don't go through, that's it. It is what it is. It won't be able to happen. And we've had that process as well. With that property in Lincoln. Where we were trying to invest there, and we literally was like a week away from.
Talk about that one. So we were literally had everything agreed, had everything done. You know, it was a nice property. We could have put money into it. We could have done a refurb. You know, pulled out a lot of money out, but then. When we did an extensive survey, so we did a normal survey, then we did an extensive one. Once the extensive one came back, we were seeing that the house would need too much work. Too much work, so much work that it wouldn't be worth it. So we pulled out of that one. But it's loads of things that can happen. You know, we've had situations where like a friend has tried to buy a property and it's been downvalued, so they've had to go back to the seller and say, hey, excuse me, can you lower your price so that we can get a mortgage on there's so many things that can happen.
But also there was an area that we wasn't up for investing consistently in that area, so it didn't make no sense. It's gonna be like an outlier. You know, we like to stay in one area and kind of like dominate that area, so it didn't make no sense to just have one out there when we was never really going to go there again. Lincoln's way out of the way.
Way out of the way. But, you know, it was something that we were trying new, and it just didn't work out. But, you know, if something comes available.
I don't know if we've got any more.
I got one. This one's a bit of a curveball. A bit of a, it's a key though, if you clock onto it. There's something called, you can use bridging. Now, I know straight away you're thinking bridging, okay, I still need the deposit. But there's something called market value bridging.
Tell us about it.
So that's basically
major key.
That's basically again, not all lenders are going to offer this, innit?
Okay.
But you can find lenders to offer this. So that's basically when a lender, a bridging lender, will lend to you based on the market value of the property. So what I mean by that is, for example, a property is worth, I don't know, it's actually the actual worth of it is like 180K. But you're basically able to negotiate some sort of deal for like 150, for instance, What the lender will do, they will use that equity, because obviously you've got 30K equity in there. You got it for 150, it's actually worth 180. They will use that equity as a deposit. And they will lend you, obviously, so you drop the deposit now, based on the equity, and they will lend you the rest of the money. So obviously that way, again, it's another way in whereby you don't have to drop. So again, obviously, as
crazy.
With bridging loan, you know there's interest. However, again, research, knowledge, if you go out there, you know, there's bridging lenders that do offer that. So
might have to bring someone that's done that before,
exactly.
Or if you're like a listener, and you know
more about this
and you want to come onto the pods, holler at us. But like this one, we wanted to give a special episode, you know, just talk about buying the second home, because some of you bought the first one and you're interested in buying the second one. So we spoke about just stacking up, you know, saving natural way, maybe with a partner or maybe with a friend, you know. Second one was Akin. What was the second one?
Second one was joint ventures.
Yeah, joint ventures. You know, third one was just equity, so just leaving the property and waiting after a few years.
Or get creative and use all three of them and, you know, save up a bit, pull out some money, do a bit of a JV.
Oh, yeah, you can do a bit of both.
Yeah,
you can do a bit of both.
Do a bit of a remix in there.
Yeah, and then last one was, what's it called?
Market value.
Bridging.
Bridging finance.
Market value bridging finance. So, yeah, like we wanted to give you a few gems, you know, just to get you thinking. If you bought your first one, just get you thinking on the next one.
Mm.
If you haven't bought your first one, this is just good information to know anyway, because it's better to know than not to know, you know, so that when you're ready, you can just go.
And have in mind, even if you haven't bought your first one, some of the stuff we're talking about now, you could probably use it to get your first one. So,
there you go.
Even being a JV, you know what I mean? Equity, your parents might have equity in the yard. So, you could use that kind of thing and come from that angle, or just simply just stack.
Exactly.
Do we want to do any shout outs to any patrons
right now? Yeah, man. I mean, shout out to Aku. I think it's Aku.
Come on. Shout out to Jeffrey, latest patron as well.
Exactly, if we miss you,
we're going to shout you out the next one anyway.
But there's been a couple of them. Really, 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 really grateful for you guys and so far. So,
definitely.
Yeah, shout out to you guys, man.
Also, if you have any questions as well that you want to be asking us, make sure you ask us in the Telegram group so that we know what we want to talk about and we can feed it to you.
So we're going to have a quick break now and then we're going to jump straight back in. We're going to give you some more gems and again, just continue the conversation about buying a second home.
Perfect.
Cool. Yo, Akin. Hey, yo, Gokes. Imagine an app that can track and build your credit score at your fingertips.
Huh?
Yeah, buddy.
How? Talk to me.
Portify. It's a new app. All you do is put in your personal details and then you can link it to your bank account or all of them and literally track all of your payments coming in and out. And on top of that, it gives you your real-time credit score.
That's kind of mad.
There's more though. It's so intelligent that it will send you notifications to say that you're going to run out of money for an upcoming bill.
So what, it basically tells you when you're broke?
Nah, it told you that you need to top up.
Ah, I get you. So it's kind of like having your own personal advisor, but credit.
Something like that.
I'm already with a credit referencing agency though.
Yeah, but with Portify, you get the benefit of building your credit score with all three major credit reference agencies in one app.
What, like Experian and Equifax?
Yep.
Okay, big man.
How much?
Okay.
Only £9 a month, mate. And it doesn't do any hard searches to leave a footprint on your credit file. So it's really a no-brainer, seriously. Don't wait to build your credit next year.
Or the year after. Start today.
In fact, start right now.
Come on.
Results may vary. See Portify.co for more details.
So, okay, this is all well and good. Obviously, knowing strategies and stuff on how to buy a second home. But I'm sure there's some other first stuff you got to kind of consider. Mm-hmm. So, does anyone have anything or anything else? Is it the same, like, in regards to getting a second home? Are you only dropping 10% deposit? Is it a bit more? Because, you know, with your first home, assuming that's residential, you're only dropping 10% minimum deposit. If you're buying a second home and you intend to maybe either live in it or you intend to rent it out, is it the deposit the same?
Okay, so if you're trying to rent it out, then you need a different kind of deposit. You need 25% deposit rather than your average, well, your normal 10% deposit.
Mm.
You need 25% in this case, which is quite significant. That's why sometimes it takes a bit longer to get your second home. Mm. Or sometimes you need a bit of help getting your second home. But either way, it's a bit more deposit. However, if you intend to live there...
Mm.
As your
residential,
then you need 10%
minimum, or 5% in some cases.
But then what does that mean for your other house?
Yeah, so okay, so if you're looking to get another house that's a your residential, you're moving houses, getting a bigger property, you're gonna drop your 10% residential. But for your other house, what you need to get is something called two different things you can do actually. You can either convert your other house to a buy-to-let property, because I'm assuming you're going to be letting the property out because you're not living there anymore, or you can get something called consent-to-let,
mm-hmm.
which kind of allows you to kind of let out the property while you're moving into another property.
Okay. Do these things come out of charge, or is it free?
Yeah, so for example, again, with buy-to-let, converting your property to a buy-to-let, again, interest rates will be different, so you need to consider that as well.
Mm.
If it's you're getting a consent-to-let, some lenders will charge you a fee per year.
Mm.
So, for example, like NatWest, I think they charge a fee every year. So, I think it's about £200+. Some lenders will charge you a one-off fee. Santander, I remember when I did it, Santander only charged me a one-off fee. And that allowed me to kind of gain the consent to let the property out forever. But obviously, I eventually changed it to a buy-to-let anyway because my mortgage ran out. But yeah, so it just don't...
Do you need to come up with like a story in regards to...
No, because
just quick
yeah, because for example, I mean, again, if you're buying a second house, like, okay, I've got my house and I'm living here, however, I want a second house. Okay, what do you want the second house for? Are you getting it because you want a bigger house? Yeah, okay, cool, that's the story. Yeah, I just want a bigger house. Like, or is it a case that I want to get it because I want to let it out and make some money? I also want to stay where I am, so I want to get it. So it's a buy to let investment. Okay, I've got a house at the moment, but I'm looking to invest in property. So yeah, that's literally the story. Like, okay, do you know what I mean? So that will make sense.
Okay, cool. I think another thing to consider, as always, credit score. I think I even have a scenario recently as well. Obviously, you guys now do sourcing, whereby a client wanted to buy a second home. But for whatever reason, he had a mark on his credit score that meant that he basically wasn't getting
the rate,
the best rates that he kind of wanted. And so yeah, it's something you've got to consider in regards to buying your second home. You might want to have a check on your credit report, make sure you're good to go, do the necessary checks, go through the process of trying to get a mortgage in principle, and see if there's any, is going to be any issues. If there is, you may need to wait, you need to do some things to obviously get your credit score up. But obviously, we know how important it is in any property purchase.
Okay, we're going to talk about some more things now, just about buying your second home. So we're going to go straight in.
I got one. No, but it's good. I think we missed it, innit?
Oh, okay.
When you're buying your second home, you're liable to pay additional home stamp duty.
Why am I paying tax on a transaction?
I don't get it.
I still got to pay other taxes again.
So you have to pay additional stamp duty. So obviously, with the normal stamp duty that you have to pay when you're buying a house, now if you want another house, the government's saying, okay, I hear you, you're trying to get clever and own land, yeah, we're going to slap on 3% extra stamp duty for you to pay. So that's something else to consider. So when you're doing your numbers and you're doing your maths, understand that you will have to pay additional property, regardless if you're living in it, it's a residential, you can't avoid that 3%.
Yep. And I'm just going to read out something from trustle.com. If you're buying your second home, you will pay 3% on the first £250,000 of the purchase price.
I like the way you exaggerate that number.
There's a lot of money. Yeah. Then, and it gets worse, then 8% from £250,000 and one pence to, and £1, sorry, to £925,000. So after you break past that £250,000 barrier, then you're liable to pay 8% on the increase.
Wow. Yeah.
That's absolutely outrageous.
But no, that's because obviously you're still paying the normal stamp duty. Because once you go past the barrier of the 250, you still got to pay the normal stamp duty anyway. So obviously adding the 3% plus that one, the extra 5, and then that's why you're getting the 8 and stuff like that.
It's crazy,
you know. But
yeah.
The game is the game.
The game is the game. Man.
You want to play the game, you got to play by the rules.
Exactly, man. Tax needs to be paid, man.
I'm about to be a criminal.
Trust me, man. in addition to the stamp duty tax, there is obviously capital gains tax as well. Just to read out this article from hoa.org.uk. Your second home will also be liable for capital gains tax when you come to sell it if it increases in value beyond your capital gains allowance, currently £12,000 per person. You will have to pay up to 18% of the increase to the tax man.
That's a bit mad. That's a bit mad. I was just waiting for you to finish. Like, I'm a bit shocked by that. What?
Yeah.
Damn. So, again, the tax man is just out for your money.
Basically.
The tax man is out for your money, bro.
Yeah, but it's stuff to consider.
Yeah.
Ken is hyping it because obviously, you know, it's important. Like, to kind of learn these kind of things. It's all well and good, but in the long term, if you decide to sell stuff, you will have to pay a lot of tax. So you that are thinking, okay, if I sell this, and then I get, you know, I make 40k from da 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 da. Okay.
Also factoring your tax that you're going to have to pay on that.
The government's going to take that. So, yeah, so that's another thing to know.
Yeah, man,
I think, again, it's just important to kind of go through these kind of things because once you kind of get past the second one, you literally kind of start understanding that, okay, I can just keep doing this and to get the third property, use the same strategies we spoke about at the start, consider everything we spoke about at the second half of the pod. And then, I mean, there's options, man. And understand that you can always JV with us as well.
That's it, man.
If you're serious.
If you're scared, then you're serious. Yeah. We can give you that confidence. Well. You know what I'm saying?
Try and get the second one as well.
Go on.
Yeah, get from the second one to the third one.
Exactly. So at this point, you've probably bought your first one, you saved up a bit of cash, got the first one. Second one, you've decided to do a joint venture maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And for the third one, you might say, you know, actually, I'm going to do a BRRR. Mm. I've been able to save up again, up to 50K. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to invest in a property whereby I can buy it below market value.
Mm-hmm. Or add some value to it.
Or add some value to it by maybe converting a garage, or adding a loft conversion, or whatever it is, yadda-da-do. And then almost do the work to it so that it can increase the value of the property. And then obviously down the line, be able to like...
Remortgage,
pull that money out. Mm-hmm. And then now you've got a pot of money to go again and try and invest in another property. So I think...
Yeah.
That's a strategy that we're using. We see people around us do that often as well. And that could be a way to get to the third, fourth, fifth,
and just keep going from there.
Keep going on beyond. So I think that there's maybe a good way to end.
Yeah, because, I think everyone will testify after the first one, that's the hardest. Second one, after the second one, it's free flow. You can just keep going after that because you've sort of found your feet.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing now. Mm. You know how it works. And then you can just go from there and just keep scaling up.
And please do understand, we're not saying like it's a walk in the park. You just literally buy your first one, get through the first one, and the rest is going to be easy. Like we spoke about all the stuff that comes with it. There's still the same solicitor.
Mm. I think what we'll do is in the upcoming episode for the patrons specifically, we'll talk about some of the really big mistakes we've made so far in the purchasing process, or some of the things to avoid maybe in terms of the hiccups that have happened for us, and anything you can do can speed up the process as well. When you are going for those property purchases.
I hear that. So you're showing the patrons a lot of love is important. Yeah. Look, get on Patreon.
You know what I'm saying?
Get on Patreon. Man. So many gems to get from that, but honestly, like I said, it's not going to be a walk in the park. However, the best way to kind of do it is literally throw yourself in, try all these different strategies we spoke about today.
Yeah.
Look at the ones that might make sense to you. Look at your community, people around you. You might have a lot of people that have money. Go start learning, approach them and say, this is what I do, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And the money will follow you. So one thing I always say is the hardest thing is finding the right deal. Money is not even the hardest thing. Raising money is not the hardest thing. The right deal will always attract money.
So there you go.
Note that there's a lot of investors, us investors, even out here, bro. Even out here now, obviously, as good as we are with finding deals and stuff, if you see a good deal now, you know, you would want to go for it because
it
still makes sense. Like, so that's another thing I want to kind of end on and say, be able to look for deals.
And honestly, if it's scary, you feel like, man, this is a tough process. Don't feel like, you know, we were here just confident all the time. We're still building our confidence to do other deals and bigger deals, and you know, we're still on our journey as well. So feel free to know that it's not easy, but you know, we're here as well to help. So
of course. And something I'd like to end on as well is that obviously your own journey is your own personal journey. Like someone can have 10 properties in Birmingham, you know, and at 22 and you know, that's their journey, whereas someone can get one property at 32 10 years later and it can be a huge one in London.
Facts.
And it's bringing in the same type of revenue for all we know. So even if you're not planning to buy a property today or tomorrow or next year, it's good, it's better to know this information anyway, so that when you are ready, you're informed.
Facts.
So that you're not clueless and trying to find the information then. It's better to know than to not know.
Facts.
So that's what I say anyway. So when you're hearing this information, don't feel a type of way if you're not ready. Just get the information, learn it, understand it, and then when you are ready, your time will come. Exactly. Do you know what I'm saying?
There's people out there that don't own a property but own, you know, 20 rent-to-rents. They own 20 rent-to-rents and they're generating income of, you know, 10K plus six figures a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, owning a property isn't everything. Mm. But I think from this podcast, what we love to do is just enable you guys with the tools to get onto the ladder. We feel everybody should have at least one residential property, one investment property, and that's just for yourself to give you that bit of comfort, enables to kind of give you that second income and
making up that lifestyle
and have that lifestyle and that generational wealth, as we always like to go on about. So I think it's been a great episode.
Informative, quick, short,
but very I would say very, very needed.
Yeah,
very, very important. So we love you guys. We appreciate you guys.
Come on.
And we'll see you guys.
Peace out, A-Town.
Peace.
Cokes is out.
I'ma get no be so. Get you one capture my soul. I'ma get no be so. Make you one bo.